Good morning and welcome to hour number one of Dining Around with Gene Byrne. Guests coming by to talk about, well, talk about many different things. Liza Zimmerman is the wine chick, and she writes a blog and very knowledgeable on wines and cocktails. We're going to talk with her about her work. We're talking food, wine, and travel as we do each Saturday from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. here on Dining Around with Gene Byrne. And we're joined by Liza Zimmerman. Liza has written for several years about wine and spirits. She's been published in many magazines, and she is called the Wine Chick, and she's a very interesting person, has just returned, incidentally, from both Sicily and Chicago, and I don't know much about either, actually. I'm going to Sicily this August on a cruise. I'm looking forward to that, so I thought we'd talk a little bit about Sicily, and, of course, Chicago, which has a very, very active dining scene, but it's one that somehow doesn't get the attention that the dining scenes on the East and West Coasts tend to get. And that's too bad, because there are some very, very talented people cooking in Chicago. Liza, welcome.
Thank you, Gene. Great to be here.
Nice to have you with us. Thanks. How'd you get involved in writing about wine and spirits?
I lived and went to school in Italy and fell in love with food and wine. And when I realized that some people write about it for a living and don't have to eat and drink just recreationally, I decided to return to the States and become a food and wine writer. So I started out writing about Italian food and wine because I'm an expert and I'm bilingual, and eventually moved over to more drinks writing.
Oh, really? And what led to the more drinks writing? Just an interest or a fascination?
I've often felt the food people don't take wine and cocktails quite as seriously as the wine people take all the ingredients, I think, as seriously, the type of tomato that's grown and the type of wine. And
right.
For me, I have a passion for both and a curiosity about how they work together.
You know, had we been having this conversation 10 years ago, we would be talking about wine, not cocktails. And now we've had this explosion
Absolutely.
Of the return of cocktails. What do you think about that?
I think it's the natural evolution. It very much mirrors what happened in American kitchens for so many years. We've had great improvement in the quality of food we can eat, fresh, locally sourced ingredients, very inspired cuisine. We've had great wines, even by the glass for some time, but terrible cocktails in many, many locales. And now bartenders are really becoming bar chefs. They're actively working with the kitchens to create innovative drinks that reflect the seasons.
And they're making things that heretofore they would buy, like bitters and so on. They're making their own and very carefully guarded secret recipes to make their own drinks.
Which is really exciting. And they're working much more with the kitchen. You know, if the kitchen has leftover dates, marmalades, herbs, things like that, the bar chefs will go in and start working with the chefs to incorporate them in drinks, which is super, super exciting.
Are we in the cocktail craze, are we replicating the drinks of the past, or are we also breaking ground with new drink combinations?
I would say it's going in both directions. We definitely have a revival of the classic movement, and any bartender worth his or her salt obviously will have to know how to make a Gibson, margarita, martini, classic one with gin.
Right.
But we are also, particularly on the West Coast, seeing kind of a hotbed of development with new locally sourced cocktails, creative cocktails, molecular cocktails, particularly with bartenders like Scott Beattie, who ran the drinks program up in Healdsburg at Cyrus, who told me when he opened the restaurant that he went around putting Post-its on people's porches saying, "We'll trade restaurant credit for produce."
Is that right?
Yes.
You know, it's interesting because we also, in addition to the alcohol component and the drink itself, we're also breaking ground in finding artisanal tonics and things that go along with the drinks as well, which really give us a greater depth of flavor.
Which is fantastic, and this creativity is also translating into non-alcoholic drinks. So people who are not of age, perhaps if you're pregnant or you've had too much to drink, you can have an exciting and an artisanally made cocktail as well without alcohol.
Without the alcohol, yeah. Well, we're talking with Liza Zimmerman. I want to talk to Liza about Sicily. I'm very excited about going there in August, and she has just returned. Dining Around with Gene Byrne, Liza Zimmerman, our guest. She's the wine chick, and we are talking with her about wine and cocktails. She just returned from a trip to Sicily, and, of course, she speaks Italian and went to school in Italy as well. I'm fascinated. I know very little about Sicily, but I do know that the food is somewhat different because of all the influences from the Middle East that came by Sicily. as a port of call. What about the wine? What about the wine of Sicily?
Well, the food and the wine are extraordinary. You're completely right about all those Middle Eastern influences on the food. They serve couscous. The wines have historically been quite underappreciated because they've been sold as bulk juice often to the north to fatten up those wines. But they're very much coming into their own, particularly in cool climate places like on Etna in eastern Sicily, because you have volcanic soils. They're using fantastic indigenous grapes, such as Frappato, Nerello Mascalese, Catturato. And they're producing some really wonderful and often well-priced wines.
Would they be better known for red or white?
Probably better known at this point for reds, but the whites are quite beautiful and balanced. They work beautifully with seafood, which you see a lot of in Sicily and in San Francisco.
What is different about the taste profiles of some of those indigenous grapes you mentioned? How do they differ from what we'd be familiar with here in the States?
Well, they're absolutely ancient, and each one has a unique style. But I would say grapes, red grapes like Frappato, Nerello, Mascalese, they're very cool climate. They're elegant. They're more akin to a Pinot Noir or a Cab Franc and a Chinon than a heavy-hitting Nero d'Avola, simply because of the cool climate terroir they're being raised in and the volcanic soil. And the whites are completely unique. Gregonico, Insolia, they're often blended with international varieties like Chardonnay, but they have beautiful flavors and aromas on their own, very aromatic.
Given that Sicily is an island at the toe of the boot of Italy, obviously seafood is going to be a predominant feature on the menus. But apart from seafood, what other meats are the star on the Sicilian table?
I really didn't eat a lot of meat when I was there.
Really?
I ate wonderful couscous, tons of eggplants used in all kinds of pastas, some of the best octopus I've ever had in my life. Fantastic, you know, salads with grains. It's not very much of a meat-focused culture.
Really?
Given the abundance of seafood.
Yeah. And you found the seafood good, obviously.
Absolutely fantastic. Whole fish. And I'm a huge octopus fan and can eat eggplant day and night. So I was a very, very happy girl while I was there.
Really?
Yeah.
Exactly. Now you've just returned also from Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
For some reason, Chicago doesn't get much attention, certainly here on the West Coast.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think on the East Coast either. Maybe it's because we're centered on our own region. But Chicago's a terrific food town.
It's absolutely fantastic food and wine town, with a ton of great chefs and mixologists. And it was particularly exciting for me to see this because I'm the editor of Cheers, which is a national magazine for the restaurant and the bar business. And I also have a consulting business where I use cocktails and wine to do interactive educational events for Microsoft, Unisys, some of the big companies. So it was really exciting to see what chefs and bartenders are doing in Chicago, particularly Grant Akatz, who's famous for his restaurant, Alinea.
Right. Yeah, and he's opened a new one now. You were there, right?
He's opened a duet of a bar and a restaurant. The bar is called Aviary, and it's attached to the restaurant, which is called Next. And he's selling tickets online. They're being raffled off sometimes for 8 times the cost. And he's doing absolutely spectacular, visionary, molecular cocktails at Aviary.
You know, you mentioned this before off the air, and I didn't focus on it. I just focused on it. This is genius. So instead of disappointing people who are waiting to get a table at your restaurant, you sell tickets, and then people can sell them, and you set up a secondary market in seats to your restaurant. That's a great idea.
It's brilliant. And then no one can get in, and there's a whole line
snaking
down the alley in the meatpacking district, and you're kind of taken in through a subterranean entrance. It's quite a scene.
It's amazing. Well, and what kind of food? How would you characterize his food?
Well, Aviary is really a cocktail bar, but the drinks are quite molecular and visionary. He served a Bloody Mary that was a molecular Bloody Mary. It was a small cherry tomato with the vodka and the celery and the entire drink inside. It's done as a shot. He served a rye drink infused over blueberries and orchids that you infuse at the table, and you drink very small sips so it evolves. That's the bar. The restaurant is called Next because it just opened, but every 3 months he's going to channel a new epoch of dining. And he opened with 1906 Escoffier, Paris. And it's just a prefix.
And so every so many months, he'll change the menu in terms of where it comes from.
Exactly. Next up is Street Food Bangkok. So it couldn't be a bigger jump conceptually.
Right. This guy's very creative.
The food is absolutely extraordinary. Again, it's visionary, lush, rich, complicated, but fascinating. And he does some spectacular pairings with it.
Yeah. We're talking with Liza Zimmerman. She is a writer, editor-in-chief of Cheers magazine, a trade magazine for the restaurant and bar trade. Among other things, you find her in many places. She's also a consultant. Now, if people want to get in touch with you for any of the things that you're involved in, Liza, how do they do that?
I would suggest they go to my website, www.lizathewinechick, L-I-Z-A, thewinechick.com, and all the contact information is there. And Cheers magazine can be found at cheersonline.com.
All right, cheersonline.com, and Liza, L-I-Z-A, thewinechick.com.
Yep.
And now, we're almost out of time, but will we find things like these terrific molecular cocktails and Sicilian food here in San Francisco?
The molecular cocktails are somewhat hard to find. We do have some great bars doing really great artisanal cocktails such as Absinthe, Elixir, Bourbon and Branch, Smuggler's Cove, and Rye. And other great places to find Sicilian wines would be wine bars and restaurants like Bar Bambino, Perbacco, Ottimista, Quince, Catania. K&L is always a great retail store as well.
Yeah, terrific. Great to see you.
Thanks for having me, Gene.
See you next time you come through town.